Hey folks, it's Friday, July the 26th. There are 102 days to go until the 2024 election. Donald Trump is in desperate, desperate shape. Kamala Harris is winning the culture war. I've got a couple personal things to talk about, and here is the elephant in the room.
Your task will not be an easy one. Your enemy is well-trained, well-equipped, and battle-hardened.
There is not a liberal America and a conservative America. There is the United States of America.
Good night. And good luck.
I know there are a lot of people out there in MAGA world who do not like me, who do not like the Lincoln Project, who do not like the work we do, who do not like our opposition to Trump. That's fine. That is fine. You can talk all the trash you want about me. You can do all the bullshit you want about me. You can say all the nasty things you want about me. You can call me a pedophile. You can call me a sellout. None of it's true, but okay. You can do that. You can do that. Do not threaten my fucking parents. Do not, once again, threaten my 80 fucking one-year-old parents, okay? Don't. I know you're all just joyous to think, oh, we're going to go and intimidate Rick's parents who are in their 80s. I mean, it speaks a lot to the kind of people you are, the kind of low, reprehensible, shitbird, scumbag, little dipshit, incel fuckboys who would threaten 81-year-old senior citizens, okay? It's disgusting. It's repulsive. All of you can fuck right off. You should pray to whatever God you worship that I never find out who you are. You should really, really, really think about that. And by the way, fuckwit, since you also included threats against the vice president in your emails to me, guess what? That's to the Secret Service now and the FBI. Now look, do I have confidence they'll find you? Not really. But you know what? I know you're watching. But here's the thing. You threaten my parents, you threaten my children, you threaten my fucking pets before. Enough. Grow the fuck up. Either come out in the open and face me like a fucking man, or shut the fuck up. Okay, moving on. Now the elephant in the room is Donald Trump's campaign is in trouble. They're panicking. It's miserable. And I'm here for it. Donald Trump's people this week are in an absolute panic. Trump world is now leaking like a sieve. People are coming out of the woodwork, talking to me, talking to my friends, talking to other people, and I will tell you what the problems are. First off, they had no plan B. They had no plan B at all. They had no backup idea. They had nothing in their heads except they were going to run a race against the old Joe Biden. Guys, they are in it's like a fire drill in Trump world right now. He's on the phone late at night with all the old friends, Kellyanne Conway and Brad Parscale and Corey Lewandowski and Chris Ruddy and Sean Hannity. He's calling around to everybody. Now, he's not in the stage where he's going to fire Chris and Susie yet, but he's doing the thing he does. He's calling people, do you think that they're doing a good job for me, or should I bring in somebody who's top-notch and better? He's doing that thing now. And I'm going to say something. When he does that, that is a sign. Jared Kushner is now lurking in the water like a shark. He is now like out there asking questions. Hey, well, what do they do? And Trump has finally also figured out, and this is the best part, he's also finally figured out that Laura Trump is dumb as a bag of hammers and doesn't know what's going on at the RNC. He thought he would put a family member there to monitor the money and to supervise the grift and the skim. Well, Chris LaCivita's running all that. And Chris LaCivita could be 15 beers deep and he'd be smarter than Laura Trump on her very best day. This is a campaign now that built an entire race for 3 years. They built an entire race right around old Joe Biden. And when Biden elegantly and beautifully made this unbelievably courageous decision this week to do this, it turns out that they didn't have a plan B. So Trump's now out there like road testing dumb ideas about Kamala. Oh, she's lying, Kamala. And they can't stop themselves. He doesn't know what to do. He's flailing. You can see it when he's talking. You can see it in the form of his rage true things on his dollar store low rent social media platform. I have to tell you, folks, I anticipated that that they were brittle. I anticipated that they were going to be unable to be flexible in how they campaigned and operated this year because, A, it's Trump. He's psychotic. B, it's any cult situation like this where utter loyalty all the time is required makes it impossible for people who are at a certain strategic level in the campaign to tell the truth. One of my benefits as a campaign consultant and strategist over the years was that I would say to anybody when they were fucking up, hey, you're fucking up. Hey, this is wrong. You shouldn't do it this way. Hey, this is a bad idea. Don't do that. Hey, you might want to talk to the lawyers because that sounds illegal as shit. No one can say those things to Trump. Not Susie Wiles, not Chris LaCivita, not Jason Miller, not any of them. Okay? Because they can't say those things, Trump has believed in his brain that he's always right. Now, he understood going after Biden for all this time, and the minute Biden slipped away from the net, from the noose, that it was going to be bad. And Trump is really, really desperate right now. He's road testing all kinds of crazy ideas, including the best one of all that I picked up this morning, just a little while before we came on here. Donald Trump is now calling around and saying to people like, should I think about Nikki, maybe swapping her out for JD or Elise or a woman? Would that help with the women? No, Donald, what would help with the women is that you weren't bragging about overturning Roe v. Wade. That probably would help with the women. But other than that, you're stuck with JD, brother. And I love it. Because folks, listen, JD Vance was a decision made by a group of Silicon Valley broligarchs working to get one of their boys in there. And guys, if you have ever heard of the phrase oppo and defensive oppo in politics, it's the most important opposition research you do. The research you do against your opponent is generally trivial. There's rarely a silver bullet. The research you do on yourself and your campaign and your VP is really important because it shows you the terrain of attacks that will be coming at you. Well, something happened with the oppo vetting with J.D. Vance, and it didn't happen. Imagine this. You have a guy who is your vice presidential nominee who has changed his name 4 times. Okay, first off, this is not the Americans rebooting. This is a guy who's so insecure about himself, he changed his name 4 times. You've got a guy who's in this weird Silicon Valley circle of complete, I mean, when I tell you they are neo-monarchist goons who don't believe in democracy, believe me, because they're neo-monarchist goons who don't believe in democracy. It's Peter Thiel, it's Curtis Yarvin, and if you Google Curtis Yarvin, or Mencius Moldbug, as he writes on his blog, you will find out that these people don't believe in democracy, they don't believe in America. They believe in a techno-monarchy. It's as crazy as it fucking sounds, okay? They believe in a techno-monarchy. It is bizarro world of the highest possible order. J.D. Vance is also now, there's a tidal wave of quotes about women that are rolling out right now. We should have different tax rates for childbearers. And we already know J.D. Vance wants women to have to stay in marriages that are violent. Divorce is bad. But violent marriages can be forgiven because divorce is worse. No. We know he wants a national abortion ban. All these things about JD that Opposition Research 101 would have given you a portfolio and you would have said, is this the guy? He's not the guy. We are going to hang JD Vance around Donald Trump and make sure that Donald Trump is reminded all the time that Vance was a bad choice given to him by his advisors. Vance was a weak choice given to him by his advisors. We've got an ad out running right now called Control that is about Susie Wiles and Chris LaCivita, who run Trump, who manage Trump, who puppeteer Trump as much as they can. And look, they approved the choice of J.D. Vance, and he's hurting Trump.
Sorry, Donald. Even we almost feel bad for you.
What the hell happened? What happened?
I mean, a little. You like to think you're a smart guy.
They say a wall is medieval. Well, so is a wheel.
But lately, you've been taking some really bad advice.
To be the next vice president.
La Civita and Wiles promised you Biden would never drop out.
The last time I checked, it's Biden-Harris.
They bragged about it to Tim Alberta, even took a victory lap. They told you this election was locked up, that you couldn't lose.
What happened?
Maybe they're not smart.
We worry about that.
And JD, they told you to pick him?
I'm a never Trump guy. I never liked him.
Have you figured it out yet? He's like DeSantis, only less charismatic.
Are you blind?
I had a Diet Mountain Dew yesterday. It's good.
Weird, awkward, creepy, terrible on TV.
I love you guys.
He's going to cost you votes and embarrass you. They assured you he was great.
Fundamentally divisive, arrogant.
Do you hate Mexicans?
La Civita controls all the RNC money. You think Lara really knows what he's up to?
One of the worst things that ever happened to Germany.
You know what you'd do if someone trusted you with that much cash. We're not asking you to fire them, Donald. That's not your decision anymore. In fact,
there are things that you can't control.
It never was.
We're going to remind Trump the one thing that Trump cares about, guys, more than anything else is, does he look good on TV? Is he good on TV defending me? Whatever awkward switch J.D. Vance has thrown in his brain the last few days as the VP nominee, awkward ain't in it. Awkward, a one-legged dog doing gymnastics is less awkward than J.D. Vance. This guy is not smooth. He is not presenting well. He may be good in like certain narrow casting environments where he goes on a TV show and has a lot of questions written for him beforehand and games it out and works it through. Man, you got to be faster on your feet in the presidential race. You got to move and groove. You got to rock and roll. You cannot sit around and wait for perfect opportunities and slow pitches over the plate. He's not good. He put out a fundraising video this morning that was the most awkward, cringy piece of shit I've ever seen. It's like, this is Diet Mountain Dew. They put it for me in the green room before my event.
We got 3 bottles of Diet Mountain Dew, about a dozen Snickers, a bag of chips. If I ate even half this stuff, of course, I'd balloon up like crazy.
Dude, stop. Stop. Please. But look, J.D. Vance may not be the VP nominee in a couple weeks. You never know. The deadlines are coming up, but Trump still has a few days to torture people, his staff and J.D. included, about whether he's going to stay or not. The next thing I want to talk to you about why Trump world, you can tell they're really nervous. They have been road testing every damn idea in the world. It's like for a few days, they were spinning this horseshit story like Barack Obama is trying to put Michelle on the ballot. And they were talking about it on the New York Post and in the Rupert sphere, let's put it that way. And the story was garbage. It was bullshit. I wish Obama had endorsed earlier, but as of today, he is endorsed. It's over. She's the nominee. There's this idea in MAGA world they can sue their way out of the problem and make her not the nominee. Sorry, Democratic Party rules are what govern the situation once the delegates have been selected, and the delegates have all been selected. Tough shit, way it goes. Their panic over trying to find an issue against her, it's palpable. You know, you've got the RNC Rapid Response War Room, which I swear to God, there's somebody from the K-Hive running that secretly, because they're putting out things like, how dare Kamala Harris laugh? Well, she does. She laughs. I'm sorry. I hate to break it to the RNC boys, but people do laugh. People who are happy warriors do laugh. I know Trump has no sense of humor whatsoever, so he may not laugh, but people do, and she does. They find it objectionable that she dances. Once again, unless you are in certain Pentecostal sects in American evangelical practice, most people like dancing, and she does too. And they've tried to find ways to sort of continue to litigate against Joe Biden. Listen, guys, Joe Biden slipped the net. He made the right decision for himself and for America, and now they're worried that Dark Brandon is going to spend several months in the White House being Dark Brandon. I hope he will. Look, this has been a week for Trump where it was the end of an arc. Trump had a six-week window of unbelievable good luck. The debate catalyzed a endless round of stories, hundreds and hundreds of stories in the major papers, tens of thousands of stories overall in the media sphere broadly. And it was all Joe Biden's too old. Joe Biden's too old. Donald Trump is hale and healthy. Donald Trump may be old, but he's strong and masculine. It's all over. He's the old man now. He's the weak one now. He's the guy who tells crazy stories that go that are discursive and go off into bizarro tangents.
Do I get electrocuted if the boat is sinking, water goes over the battery, the boat is sinking? Do I stay on top of the boat and get electrocuted? Or do I jump over by the shark and not get electrocuted?
He's the guy who has absolutely no understanding of the names of people around him. He confuses Nikki Haley and Nancy Pelosi. He gets out on the stage. He's like, we need to work forever.
And then they announced there was nobody's now.
Mumbles, stumbles, his slurring, all those things that he was making a giant issue of for Joe Biden. He was playing into that media narrative and it was working. He was having a blast. It was the greatest thing since prepared mustard. This guy was riding high. His campaign were cocky. That's why, again, Chris and Susie gave the interview to Tim Alberta where they were picking out curtains. And by the way, they're a temporary alliance. And when that alliance breaks, it's going to be ugly. And it was already starting to fracture from what I hear. And I'll tell you why. They both want to be White House chief of staff. In the words of the documentary Highlander, there can be only one. So one of them was going to be White House Chief of Staff, and one of them was going to be ambassador to Cameroon or something. It wasn't going to happen well. One of them was going to end up sad. I think now, with Trump in such a panic, they may both end up looking for work. Thanks, folks. That's the elephant in the room. We will see you again next Friday for this segment, and we will see you again next week for all the Lincoln Project podcasting, advertising, streaming shows. And by the way, want to shout out to Kate Sockwoods for last night's streaming show on The Breakdown. Folks, if you are confused in any way about Brat, Unburdened by What Has Come Before, or any of the other meme-worthy things that are around Vice President Harris's campaign right now, check out The Breakdown last night. Kate Sockwoods from our creative department came on board and explained it all as only a Gen Zer can. It's a great segment. You can also catch me on the Enemies List podcast, and I am also on Substack at The Rick Wilson. Look forward to talking to you guys again next time, and be well, have a great weekend, and keep campaigning, keep fighting. It's 102 days to go. Kick ass. Everybody, if you could also do the thing that we have to ask you to do, like, subscribe, share this content with your friends. It helps get the message out dramatically to more and more people. The message of the Lincoln Project right now is more vital than ever, and if you can share, like, subscribe, rate, review, all those things, I would be greatly appreciative, and we would have more people hear the vital message that we're going to kick Donald Trump's ass this November.
And good luck.